All right, Jabal said, good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful daf of Gemara ahead of us today. So today's daf is Ayin Beis 72. We are picking up from Ayin Aleph on with Beis 71b. And we're picking up Le'el Bipras. So it's 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Le'el Biprat Adhecha. I also want to welcome Josh Rosemore, who is joining us here. Baruch Hashem for the Shir, Yashikoyach. So says the Gemara the following. Le'el Biprat Adhecha. So remember again, we're speaking about the borders of Bavel. Now remember, this is not just a simple geographic discussion, but again, this is exceptionally important because what we've established is that Bavel is genealogically pure. So it tells us that anyone who comes from Bavel, by definition, has a presumed genealogical purity. Therefore, to know what are the proper boundaries of Bavel is exceptionally important. So the El Biprat Ad Hecha, how far upstream on Prat, ultimately does Bavel extend? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar at Akra de Tulkabani. So Rav said, until a place called Akra de Tulkabani. It's literally the name of a place. Shmuel Amar at Gishra de Beprat. Shmuel said, ultimately, it's until the bridge of Prat. Rav Yochanan Amar ad Ma'abra de Gizma. So Rav Yochanan said, until Ma'abra de Gizma. Again, these are all names of places on the Euphrates River. Layit Abaye v'itim Rav Yosef adra sa Abaye, and some say Rav Yosef disagreed. Layit literally means cursed, but they disagreed or disparaged the position of Rav. In other words, they felt that Rav went ahead and extended the borders of Bavel too far. So the Gemara says adrav layit ad Shmuel lo ya layit. They didn't like the position. They cursed the position of Rav, but not the position of Shmuel. In other words, that Shmuel's position extends the borders of Bavel even more. El layit adrav bechol shekhin ad Shmuel. Rather, what the Gemara means is they cursed Rav's position, and of course they cursed Shmuel's position as well. V'bayisema. The other possibility is the olam adrav layit and Shmuel lo yait. They disagreed with Rav's positions, but not Shmuel. The gishra debei prat litasoy havakoi. In reality, the bridge. The bridge by the Prat River was actually lower. The Gemara says, "Havakai v'ha'idna tapavayin beis v'ha'idna hu dalyuha parsoi." And now, ultimately, again, the parsoim went ahead and took it and rebuilt it further in. Okay. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef lahai gisa de Prat adecha. So we'll say on this side. Now, on this side refers on the western side of the Euphrates. How far does Bavel extend? So Amalei mai daitech. What are you asking about? In other words, why daf are you asking to the west? So maybe you're concerned, Mishum Biram. Well, so there was a city called Biram. So perhaps you are inquiring specifically about the genealogical fitness of the residents of Biram. Some yachse de pompadisa mi Biram naspi. Nothing to worry. The most genealogically fit, the miyuchasim in Bavel, would marry people from Biram, which tells us what? That Biram ultimately was considered to be a genealogically fit location. So Rav Papa said, the same way there's a machlokis by Yichus, there's also a machlokis by Gittin. Rav Papa said, now what does this refer to? This is going to take us back to our Gittin days. If you remember, again, the halacha was that if you bring a get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say what? Befarei nechtav ubefarei nechtam. There was a concern ultimately that Gittin written outside of Eretz Yisrael were not written l'shma, were not written for the sake of a particular man, a particular woman. Therefore, again, witnesses had to attest to the fact that the get was written l'shma. Gittin written in Eretz Yisrael did not need this same level of testimony because people assumed that it was written l'shma. The Gemara says that Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin purposes. So says the Gemara the same way that we have machlokis about the borders of Bavel. When it comes to Yuchsin, there's also a machlokis by Bavel when it comes to Gittin. So it says the Gemara of Rav Yosef, our machlokis Yuchsin. Rav Yosef says the machlokis is only by Yichus. But at the end of the day, Aval Gittin, Divrei HaKol Ad Arba Tinyana de Gishra. So ultimately, again, but Rav Yosef said when it comes to Gittin, everyone agrees that for Gittin, the boundaries of Bavel go literally Ad Arba Tinyana, which was said literally means the second willow swamp from Bavel. So apparently, this was a known location that they were referring to, that the territorial borders of Bavel go into the second willow swamp. Okay. All right, Bar Chama, Chavil Yama, Tichilta de Bavel. So Rami Bar Abba said, Chavil Yama, we'll say this is the name of a place. Chavil Yama is considered to be the Tcheles of Babel, Tchilta de Babel, which means it was the most beautiful place in Babel. And this is not an aesthetic statement, but rather, again, it's a genealogical statement. That Chavil Yama was considered to be the most genealogically fit place within all of Babel. Shunya Vaguvya, and the places of Shunya Vaguvya, Techilta de Chavil Yama, were considered to be the most beautiful places from a genealogical perspective in Chavil Yama. Ravina Amar Af Tzitzura, and Ravina said even the city of Tzitzura was also considered to be a place of incredible genealogical fitness. Tanya Miyachir, Rabbi that supports this. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer Chavil Yama Techilta de Bavel. So Chanan ben Pinchas said the city of Chavil Yama is considered to be the best, most beautiful place from a genealogical perspective of Bavel. Shunya veGuvya vitzitzura, the cities of Shunya, Guvya, and Tzitzura, Techilta de Chavil Yama, considered to be the best places within Chavil Yama. Amra Papa, Vahidna Iravi Bahu Kusoi. Now Papa says, but now unfortunately that genealogical fitness has become compromised. Why? Because the Kusim have gone ahead and mixed in there. Velohi, that's not true. The Kusim didn't naturally mix in there. Rather, Isisahu Deba'aminayu Velo Yahovule. Rather, what happened? It's that the Kusim, ultimately, there was a Kusi who wanted to marry a woman from Chavil Yama, but ultimately, again, they did not allow him to. So the Kusim tried to infiltrate Chavil Yama, but ultimately, the residents did not allow this to happen. My Chavil Yama, what does it mean, the city of Chavil Yama? Amara Papa, Zupras Debursi. This refers ultimately, again, mostly these are names of places. Pras Debursi, Hu Gavra, the Amar Lehu, Ana Minshut Mishot. There was a particular man who said, I am from the city of Shot Mishot, Amad Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Raglov, V'Amar, Shot Mishot Bein Hanaros Omedes. Shot Mishot goes, that city is situated between the rivers. So V'Chin Bein Hanaros Omedes, is that true? That Shot Mishot sits between the rivers? Most in Abapashos, what that means, and it says it's between the rivers, is the Tigris and the Euphrates, which means that ultimately it's part of Babel, and therefore the Yichos is good. Is that true? So the Gemara says, V'chi bein haros, that's my hobby. Amar Abai, Amar Abcham bar Okva, Amar Abi Yossi bar Chanina, bein haros, hari hi kegola liyuchsin. What it means is that when you call something between the rivers, mostly that's another way of saying that it's like Babel for Yuchsin purposes. So anything that's bein haros is considered to be like the Golan. Mostly now, this is the one context, by the way, where being called like the Gola, like Golos, is a good thing. Because when you say bein haGola, what that's a reference to is this particular area is like Babel. In Rabbos say there is absolutely no advantage of being Chutz La'aretz at all. The one place, one area perhaps there was an advantage was in Yichus purposes. That Babel enjoyed a higher Yichus level than Eretz Yisrael. Ivehecha Kaima, where is it situated? Amrab Yochanan Meihi Dekira Ula'el. It's from the area of I Dekira and above. I've Hamrab Yochanan Ad Ma'avarta de Gizma. I've Rabbi said it's only up until the Gizma crossing. Amra by Ritzua Nafka. So we'll say apparently the actual territorial borders of Babel only went up to the Gizma crossing, but there was a little strip of land that went above the Gizma crossing, and this ultimately was the area of Shot Mishot. Fine. Says the Gemara, Amrav Ikabar Avin Amrav Chanana, Amrav Chilazon, Amrav Chilazon, Nehavnad, Hari Yikagol Yuchsa. So we'll say the cities of Chalzon, and Nehavnad are considered to be like the Gola, like Babel, for Yichus purposes. In other words, that they are considered to be genealogically fit. Amar le Abaye, lo tasisu, like supposed to be, it's actually very interesting. So remember, this is Rav Ika Bar Avid, said in the name of Rav Hananel, said in the name of Rav. So they said, Abaye said, don't pay attention to what Rav Ika Bar Avid is saying. Why? Yevama hi denaf lale hasam. You know what happened? His brother lived in this place. His brother died without children. And now Rav Ika wants to marry his sister-in-law, wants to marry the Yavama. So he's saying that everyone who comes from this place is considered to be genealogically fit in order to what? In order to be justified in taking her as a Yavama. So Amar Lei, Atu didihi. Travika says, you think it was me who made this statement? To Rav Chananel, I didn't make this. Rav Chananel made this statement. Azul shaylu al Rav Chananel. They went and they asked Rav Chananel. Amarlo, he said to them, Hachi Amarav. So Rav said, Chalzon nehavnad tari hi kegola liyuchsin. That the cities of Chalzon and Nehavnad are considered to be genealogically fit. They're considered to be like Bavel, like the Gola, for Yichus purposes. Upligit Rav Abba Bar Kahano, and this argument is Rav Kahana Bar Abba, Dam Rav Kahana Bar Abba, my dichsiv vayino. So here, also the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk from Melachim. The pasuk from Melachim, vayinochem, vayanchem, bechalchoch, ubechabor nar goes on, va'ori modai. He settled them. He settled them in chalchach, Chavor, Nar, Gozan, and Ari Madai. Chalach, Zuchilazon. So Chalach is the city of Chalzon. Chavor, Zeh Hadyab. So Chavor is the city of Hadyab. Nar, Gozan, Zuginzak. Nar, Gozan is the city of Ginzak. Ari Madai, Zuchamdan, Vechavro Seha. This refers to the cities of Chamdan and its other cities. I will say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, what are we talking about? Vayanchem b'chalchach u'b'chavar ba'aseres hashvatim shehigla Sancheiriv mishtoi. The pasuk over here is talking about when Sancheiriv exiled the 10 tribes. The pasuk is telling me where Sancheiriv settled all of these various tribes. So the Gemara says, va'amrilei zunavnod v'chavrusa. Others say that Madai refers to Navnod and its surrounding cities. My chavrusa, what does it mean that its surrounding cities or its fellow cities? Amr Shmuel, Krach, Moshchi, Choski, v'Ramki. It means the cities of Krach, Moshchi, Choski, and Ramki. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, v'chulam psul. We'll say, all the cities mentioned in these psukim are all possible. In other words, they're all genealogically unfit. So it was Kasaka Daita Moshchi Hainu Moshchani. So maybe you'll think that the city of Moshchi is the same thing as Moshchani. Va'am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin Amar Shmuel Moshchani Harehu Kagola Liyuchsin. But yet we learn that the city of Moshchani Rabosai is genealogically fit, like Bavel. Ella Moshchi Luchud Umoshchani Luchud. Rather, again, it must be that the city of Moshchi is one city, Moshchani is a different city. Lutz Gemara says, Gemara goes weiter. Utlas Iloin Bepuma Bein Shina. So we'll say here, the Gemara is quoting from Daniel. Specifically, Daniel's having a Nevuah. Now, this Nevuah, by the way, is a reference to the future, diasporas of Klal Yisrael. So he said, I saw in my vision that this creature, we'll describe the creature in just a moment, had three ribs between its teeth. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zuchilzon Hadyab v'Netzivan. So we're going to see the creature that Daniel is seeing is a reference to Persia. So Persia had three ribs between its mouth. This refers to the cities of Chalzon, Hadyab, and Netzivan. Shepamim Bolasan, Upamim Poltasan. Sometimes these cities were absorbed within the Persian Empire. Sometimes they were outside the Persian Empire. So the image is the three ribs between the teeth. Sometimes they're inside the mouth. Sometimes they're outside of the mouth. So the Gemara goes up. The Gemara says, so upon Poltasan, Va'aru, it goes on. Va'aru Chiva Acharei Tinyana Damya Ledov. And after this creature, I saw another creature that was compared to, that looked like a bear. Tani Rav Yosef, who is the bear? Elu Parsim Sheochlin Vishoslin Kidov. This refers to the Persians. It will say the Persians are compared to a bear. Why? Because they eat and they drink like a bear. Umisarbolin Kidov. They're as heavy, as obese as bears. Umigadlin Sear Kidov. And apparently they're very hairy, like bears as well. So they eat a lot like bears. They're as heavy as bears. They're covered with hair like bears. Ve'ein lahem minucha kidov. And similarly, again, they're restless like bears. Apparently, bears are considered to be very restless animals. Adam David, you're shaking your head. You have knowledge about this. Okay, like a bear expert. So they're restless. They're restless like bears as well. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Ami ki avachazi parsi derachiv. Rabbi Ami, whenever he would see a Persian riding on a horse, he would say, "Amar hainu doba naida." It's like a riding bear. In other words, he would refer ultimately again to the Persians as bears. Amarle Rabbi Levi, Amarle Rabbi Lelevi. So we'll say it's actually an amazing word. Rabbi said to Levi, Harini Parsoim, tell me, what do the Persians look like? In other words, describe to me what the Persians look like. Amarle, he said to him, Domin lachayalos beis David. They look like the soldiers of David HaMelech's army. So we'll say the soldiers of David HaMelech's army were known to be very brave and very strong. So here, what Rebbe was saying, what Levi was saying to Rebbe was that the Persians were a very strong and valiant nation. Harini Chabarion, so Chabarin, show me, so we'll say Chabarin were another nation. Now Rashi points out over here, the Chabarin, if you look at Rashi, it's in the wide lines, about four lines in. Last word online, Chabarin, Rashi says, Chabarin, Uma Hasmucha Leparsim, they were a nation that lived next to the Persians. Umashchisimheim, they're a destructive nation. Vitarfonimheim, Bioser Miparsoim, and they're more destructive even than the Persians. So says the Gemara. So describe to me. So Rabbi said to Levi, describe to me what the Chabarin look like. So he said, Domin lemaloche chabala. They look like destructive angels. So Harini Yishmaelim, show me what do the Yishmaelim, the Arabs, look like. Domin lesiirim shabes akise. They look like the demons that inhabit the bathrooms. Rashi says over lesiirim milubashim shcharon dom nushedim. They wear black, and they look like demons. As it says, very beautiful Gemara. Now, ha'eni tamidi chachamim. Tell me what ha'eni tamidi chacham shav bavel. Tell me what do the Torah scholars in bavel look like? Domim lemalachei asharis. They look like angels. It's a beautiful Gemara. So I say, so why is that? If you look at Rashi. Domin lemalachei asharis, levushim levanim, because tamidi chachamim in Bavel used to wear white. Va'atufim kimalachei asharis, they would wrap themselves in white like the angels. Ksev ha'ish levush abadim. So said back to the Gemara. Ki amenecha nafshei de Rebbe, when Rebbe was on his deathbed, Amar humina ika beBavel, there is a place called Humanya in Bavel, kula amonoihi. Ultimately, again, it's inhabited all by Ammonites. So consider it to be, it's a city that's inhabited by Ammonim. So the Gemara says, Misagaria Ika beBavel, or there's another city called Misagaria, Misagria in Babel, Kula Mamzerihi. It's totally inhabited by Mamzerim. All the residents are Mamzerim. Birka Ika beBavel, there's a city called Birka in Babel. Shnei Achim Yesh, there are two brothers there, Shemachlifin Neshoseim Zelazeh, who switch wives with one another. Words, that's another way to say that the city is filled with Mamzerim. Birsa Desatche Ika beBavel, there's another city called Birsa Desatche in Babel. So Hayom Saru Me'achore HaMakom. Today, the residents of that city turned their back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They left the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, I will say, what happened in Birsa Desatche that caused the residents to turn their back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Akfi Pira Bekari Beshap. Because I will say, one time it happened, that the fish pond in Birsa Satya overflowed. So there was an abundance of fish. This happened on Shabbos. Va'azil v'tzadu b'hu b'shabso. And what happened? The people went to go ahead and catch the surplus fish on Shabbos. Now obviously this is aser, right? Trapping fish on Shabbos, trapping any animal on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachos. And they publicly desecrated Shabbos. As a result, v'shamtinu Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Achi and Rabbi Yoshia excommunicated. They put them in Shamta for their public violation of Shabbos. V'ishtamut. And ultimately, again, as a result of this, they decided to turn their back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu altogether. Akra da'agma ikub Bavel. There's another place called Akra da'agma in Bavel. Adabar Ava Yeshba. And there's a man by the name of Adabar Ava who lives there. Amud Beis. Hayom Yoshev Becheko Shel Avram. So this is actually a very beautiful statement. See here, remember, this is all Rebbe saying all this stuff on his deathbed. So Rebbe saying today, in the city called Akra da'agma, there's a man, or there's a boy by the name of Ada Bar Ava, who is sitting literally in the Cheko, he's being held by Avram Avinu. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi says, Yesh Omrim, Hayom Yoshev Becheko Shel Avram, Yesh Omrim Meis Hayom. So some say it means that he died today. We'll say others explain that no, what it means is Benira, second line in Rashi, Dalyoshe Bechegum Sha'arma Vinu, Shenichnas Lebrismila. Such a beautiful image. So Rebbe said today in the city of Akra de Agma, there is a man, there is a little boy who's going to receive the name of Ada Bar Ava, he's the son of Ava, and right now he's getting his bris milah in that city. It's a beautiful image. You'll see why this is important in just a moment. Hayom nolad Rabbi Yehuda beBavel. Today, Rabbi Yehuda was born in Bavel. The Amar Mar, Kishameis Rabbi Akiva, because they're both saying that, why is this important? Why is Rabbi telling his students that Adabar Ava is getting his bris today, and Rabbi Yehuda was born, and a little boy by the name of Yehuda, who will become Rabbi Yehuda, was born in Bavel. What's the significance of these statements? The Amar Mar,
Kishemes Rabbi Akiva Nolad Rabbi. Chazal said we know that when Rabbi Akiva was born, I'm sorry, when Rabbi Akiva died, on the day that Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbi was born. Kishemes Rabbi, on the day that Rabbi died, so Nolad Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was born. Kishemes Rabbi Yehuda, on the day that Rabbi Yehuda died, Nolad Rava. Rava was born. Kishemes Rava, when Rava died, Nolad Ravashi. Ravashi was born. Why is this important? Lam Decha. She'in tzaddik niftar min ha'olam at shenivra tzaddik kamoso. We'll say the Ribono Shel Olam never leaves the world without tzaddikim. Therefore, again, on the day in which a particular tzaddik dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that another tzaddik is born that very day. She'ne'emar v'zorach ha'shemesh u'ba ha'shemesh. First wide line. As the Pasuk says, the sun will set and the sun will rise. The idea is when one sun sets, when one great tzaddik dies, another tzaddik ultimately is born. So, Ad shelo kavsa shemashal shel Eli, zarcha shemashal shel Shmuel. Before the sun of Eli set, the sun of Shmuel rose. Shene emar, mener elokim terem yichbeh. The pasuk says, the candle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before it would be extinguished, u'shmuel shochev. So again, the Gemara understands this metaphorically to mean that before the candle of Eli was extinguished, the candle of Shmuel was already ignited. Tziva Hashem liYaakov sabivav tzarak. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk over here, the pasuk from Shmuel, the pasuk from Eicha. Tziva Hashem liYaakov sabivav tzarak. So we'll say, literally it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Yaakov sabivav tzar, that he will be encircled by enemies. Almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created certain circumstances where Klal Yisrael is going to be persecuted. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kigon, Humanya lePumnara. This refers like the city of Humanya, which was in Pumnara. So we'll say Humanya had a large Jewish population, and it was surrounded by people who disliked Jews. Vayihi kina vayu paltiyohu. Then Benayome, so we'll see here the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk from Yecheskel. So in this Pasuk, the Navi is speaking about the death of a man named Petalyahu ben Binaya. So Petalyahu ben Binaya dies, the Epa Aponai the Ezak Kol Godol. And Yecheskel begins to cry. So now the Shaila is going to be, why is Yecheskel dying over the death of this guy by the name of Petalyahu? Paltiyahu. So says the Gemara. So Abba upon Abba Ezra called Godol, the Omer Aho Adoni Hashem. So Yecheskel is crying over the death of Piltayo. Keep on pronouncing his name. Paltio. So Ravu Shmuel, Chad Amar Latova, V'Chad Amar L'Ra. So we'll say this is Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Ultimately, again, about this individual Paltio is Pilat Yohu. Pilat Yohu. Is Pilat Yohu a good person or a bad person? So the Gemara says, so one says that Pilatio was a good man. Why? Kiha the following. The istandura demation chasne devucha netzer haba. I will say the governor of the city of Meshon was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. So remember, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first Beis HaMikdash, and he exiles the Jews. So the governor of Meshon, who was the son-in-law ultimately of Nebuchadnezzar, sent the following message. Shalach lei, mikulei hai shevayo da'aisislach, lo shadris lon dekoi lekamon. So the governor of Meshon sends a message to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, you brought all of these Jews to Babel, and you didn't send any of them to Meshon to serve us. In other words, why don't we get some of the Jewish slaves? Why do you get all the Jewish slaves? So the Gemara says, "Boy, the Shadurile." Yisrael, so the Buchanetzer was going to honor the request of the governor of Meshon and send him some of the Jews as servants. So Pilatyahu ben Binayahu said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Anon dechashvinon neku mikamach." So we Jews were very chashuv. So let us remain here with you. Let us serve you. The Avdin Nezlu Lahasam. And you know what? Why don't you send some of our slaves? In other words, when Klal Yisrael was exiled, we were exiled with our servants as well. So Pilatyahu makes an argument before Nebuchadnezzar. Why don't you go ahead and send our slaves to serve the people in Meishon and keep the Jews who are more. I mean, it's greater covered for you. Nebuchadnezzar said the greatest way to get people to do things is how play to their ego. Right? So Nebuchadnezzar, you're so chashuv. You're so chashuv. Someone like you should have a nation that's chashuv, like Klal Yisrael. Serve them. Send our servants to Meishon. Don't send us to Meishon. Nebuchadnezzar, what was Pilat Yo's plans? Meishon was a very hostile environment to the Jews. At least by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar sounds strange, but Nebuchadnezzar had some level of covet for the Jews. So Pilat Yo's plan was, keep the Jews close to Nebuchadnezzar. Do not send them to the outlying areas like Meishon. So the Gemara says, what happened? Anon dechashen nekim kamach. Hacha. Va'avdin nezu lahasam. The Aber Navi, so we'll say, so what happened? And Nebuchadnezzar listened, and sent the Jewish slaves to be slaves in Meishon, but allowed the Jews to remain ultimately with Nebuchadnezzar. But Aber Navi, the Navi lamented Yechezkel, said, now Pilat Yo died as a young man. So the Navi said, Misha Asa Tova Bi Yisrael, Yamos Bechetz Yamav, could it be that someone who did so much good for Klal Yisrael should die so young? In other words, Pilat Yo died young, and Yechezkel was crying Nebuch that he died so young. He was a good man, he saved Klal Yisrael. The Amr Lura, but Mandar Amr Lura, the other opinion that says that Pilat Yo was not a good man, Dechsev, now what did Pilat Yo do? Dechsev, Atava Osiel Shar Beis Hashem HaKadmoni. So Yechezkel says, I came into the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash, Kedima, V'hine b'Pesach Asher Esrim v'chamisha ish. There were 25 men. V'era b'socham es ya'oznia ben Ezer, v'es Pilat Yo ben Binayo, sorry ha'am. And I saw, again, men, distinguished men, like Pilat Yo ben Binayo, master, literally officers of the nation, uksiv, and Yechezkel writes, they brought me into the inner courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. V'nei Pesach Heichal Hashem, Bein Ha'ulam U'Bein HaMizbeach, Ke'asrim V'chamisha Ish. And they brought me into the Beis HaMikdash, and I saw that inside the Beis HaMikdash there were 25 men. Achoreihem El Heichal Hashem, their back was turned to the Beis HaMikdash. U'Pneihem Kedma, they faced eastward. Mimasha Shenemar U'Pneihem Kedma, so if you tell me that they faced eastward, I know in Yodea Shacharim Klapei Marav. I know that their backs are westward, which means their backs are towards the Beis HaMikdash. So Matam Lomar Acharim El Heichal Hashem. Why was it necessary to state that their backsides were towards the Beis HaMikdash? Melamed Sheimafrin Atzmon Umasrizin Atzmon Klapei Malo. Then I both say what happened. They literally again defecated in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're praying towards the east, towards the sun. So again, what were they doing? They were actively disrespecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Beis HaMikdash. V'ka'amar Navi. So both say, so remember, who's included in this group over here? Who's included in this group is Pilat Yo ben Binayo. So apparently Pilat Yo ben Binayo was one of the people who turned his back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was davening to the sun. V'ka'amar HaNavi. And the Navi said, Misha Asara Hazos V'Yisrael Yamos Amitaso. Someone who went ahead and committed this terrible, grievous act towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu should die a peaceful death. In other words, apparently, Binayo died a peaceful death in his bed, to which the Mandar Amr says, to which Yechezkel says, could it be that someone who acted in such a disrespectful manner ultimately should die so peacefully? So, Tistayin de Shmuel de Amr Lura. So, both say, so remember now, what we have over here is a Tzmachlokis Rav and Shmuel. Ultimately, again, who was Pilat Yo, a good guy or a bad guy? Was he the individual who ultimately saved the Jews from being further exiled to Meishon? Or was this his Ovid Avodah Zarah, worshipped the sun, who literally defecated in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash? So it would appear that it was Shmuel who has the negative opinion of Pilat Yo. Why? Demar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel. As Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel, Moshchani Harihi Kagola Liuchsin. So Moshchani is considered to be like Bavel for Yichus purpose. In other words, considered to be genealogically pure. Meishon lo chashula. Meishon ultimately, again, is not reckoned. Lo mishum avdus velo mishum mamzerus. In Meishon, we weren't worried about avadim, and not because of avad, not because of mamzerus. Ella, the only problem in the city of Meishon was, Ella kohanim shahayuba loek pidu ala grusha. So both said the only genealogical problem that came up in the city of Meishon was what? That there were kohanim who married divorcees. So the only problem we have in the city of Meishon is what? An issue of halalim. So the Gemara says,
So because of this, Rabbi says, so because of this, now remember, let's analyze this. If it's true that Pilatyo was a good guy, then he was successful in what? He was successful in sending the Avodim to the city of Meshon. In which case, although Klal Yisrael would have been saved from being exiled to Meshon, Lemaisegin, at the end of the day, there would have been a problem with the Eved population. Yet here Shmuel is on record as saying is, no, there's no problem with Avodim in Meshon, there's no problem with Mamzerim in Meshon. The only problem in Meshon is what? That Kohanim marry Grushos. Therefore, again, it must be that Shmuel's opinion of Pilatyo was that he wasn't successful in saving the Jewish people, but rather, again, he was a Rasha Merusha. Well, maybe not. The old Imelecha Shmuel Amar Latova. Maybe Shmuel could also have a positive opinion of Pilatyo. Shmuel Tamei, but perhaps Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. Because what does Shmuel say? The Amar Hamafkid Abdo, Hamafkid Abdo, excuse me, get shichur. But it could be Shmuel's of the opinion that if one makes his Eved Hefker, the Eved goes free and does not require a document of emancipation. Because it will say, in other words, perhaps what Shmuel is saying is the following. If Pilatyo was successful and convinced Nebuchadnezzar not to send the Jews to Meshon, but to send who? To send who? The Avodim of the Jews. And it will say, effectively, what did the Jews do? They were mafkir their avadim. They made their avadim hefker. Because by sending them to Meshon, they relinquished ownership. Shmuel says, what's the status of an eved who was made hefker? He becomes a full-fledged Jew and doesn't require a get shichur, doesn't require a document of emancipation. Therefore, it could be that according to Shmuel, the reason why, it could be that Pilatyo was a good guy. He convinced Nebuchadnezzar to send the avadim there, not the Jews. And the reason why Meshon doesn't have a problem with the Eved population is why? Is why? Because the Avadim became free men upon arriving in Meshon. And therefore, again, they became full-fledged Jews. Shenemar, kol Eved ish miknas kesef. Because the Pasuk says, any person who is a servant to a man is acquired by money. Eved ish, below Eved isha. Right, so first of all, Eved ish tells us that it's only an ish who owns an Eved, not an isha. And furthermore, Eved sheyesh lo rishus rabo alav karoy Eved. Eved she'in the rabbi rishus alav in kari eved. What we also have to know say is what? That any eved whose master has dominion over him is called an eved. But an eved whose master does not have dominion over him is not called an eved. So we'll say, so therefore, again, all the Gemara is pointing out is that it could very well be that even Shmuel holds that Pilatyo was a good guy. And the reason why Meshon doesn't have a problem with the eved population is what? Because let's see, understand what's happening over here. Meaning, remember, two different narratives on Pilatyo. Good guy, really bad guy. If he was a good guy, the reason he was good was because he saved the Jews from being exiled to Meshon. How did he save the Jews from being exiled to Meshon? By convincing Nebuchadnezzar to send the Avodim. If he was a bad guy, then he was one of this group, ultimately again, who worshipped the sun and defiled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, defiled the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara wants to suggest that it was Shmuel who held that Pilatyo was a bad guy. Why? Because Shmuel, when commenting on the genealogical status of Meshon, said that the only problem with Meshon was that Kohanim married Grushas, Chalolim problem, but no problem with Avadim. But if Pilatyo was successful in convincing Nebuchadnezzar to exile the slaves to Meshon, then ultimately there should have been an Eved problem in Meshon as well. Therefore, again, it must be that Shmuel said Pilatyo was a bad guy. Grush Gemara says, no, could be Pilatyo was a good guy. And therefore, he convinced Nebuchadnezzar to send over the Avadim. So why isn't there a problem with an Eved population in Meshon? To which Shmuel holds, very simply, why? Because once a Jew frees his Eved, in other words, we'll say, when we say freed, means once a Jew no longer has control over his Eved, the Eved de facto becomes free, even without the get shechrer, and the freedom of the Eved translates into what? He's becoming a full-fledged Jew. That's why even if Pilatyo was successful in getting Nebuchadnezzar to send over the Jewish slaves to Meshon, those slaves would have become what? Would have become free men, full-fledged Jews. And that's why Shmuel says there was no slave problem, there was no Eved problem, genealogical problem in Meshon. So the Gemara says, Rabosai, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rabosai. Again, first of all, it's just amazing. There's a machlokas. There's a machlokas about the legacy of Pilatyo ben Benayo. Good guy or bad guy? And you see again, the machlokas remains quite dramatic. Says the Gemara, Rabosai, it's a big musr. You know, the goal in life is that there shouldn't be a machlokas on your legacy. Right? That's the avoda in life. That after 120, people should be able to look back at our life and say, he was a good guy. If there's chiluke deos, right? If there's a machlokes about my legacy, so there's something a little bit off in the life that I live. That's what we aspire to. That when our children remember us and our community remember us, they should remember us letova. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But say, now the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yehuda said, Amar Shmuel, Zo div Rabbi Meir. So far, we have been discussing the Shita of Rabbi Meir. I will say, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi is almost right across. Zo div Rabbi Meir. Masnisin diktoni de alu psul na Eretz Yisrael. Umashma de inkal aratos becheskas miyuchasos. Chutz mi bavel bilvad. Kedar b'esh pirka. Dem say, le Rabbi Lazar. So let's listen to this. So remember, so far, our Mishnah has been espousing one particular narrative. And what's the narrative? The narrative is that the only place on the face of the earth that enjoys absolute genealogical fitness is Babel. And the reason for that is because Ezra made it like solus nikir, like fine flour. He took up all of the psulim with him to Eretz Yisrael. But every other land, again, under Babel, the next land that enjoys the next tier of genealogical fitness is Eretz Yisrael. But again, the assumption of Rabbi Meir is that all of the other lands, it's like, you know, the like genealogical Wild West. You know, whatever happens, happens. There's absolutely no controls in place. So says the Gemara, by the way, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Listen to this. Avachachamim omrim, kol aratos becheskas kashras heim omdos. Chachamim say, not true. All lands have a cheskas kashras. Now, both sides. Now, the position of the Chachamim essentially is what? You assume a person has a cheskas kashras, unless, of course, you know to the contrary. See, Rabbi Osai, in Rabbi Meir's model, essentially what happens is like this. If you come from Babel, you have a cheskas kashrus, right? If you come from Eretz Yisrael, so we saw this in yesterday's daf. So, pretty much you also have kind of a presumed cheskas kashrus. But if you come from anywhere else, the truth is the chazaka may actually be that you're a apostle until proven kosher. The apostle until proven kosher. So the Chacham come along and say, not true. Every person has a cheskas kashrus until you know to the contrary. Now, we'll say, by the way, we know this to be true in general in halacha, that every person has a cheskas kashrus to the contrary. The Chumra just explaining this, extending this to genealogy as well. So, Ameymar Sharle, Rafuna Barnas, and Lamensev, is Sami Chosaisa. Ameymar allowed Rafuna Barnasan to marry a woman from Chosaisa. So, we'll say, Chosaisa was a city. So, the Gemara says, Rashi says, Mechozaisa, ve'ein mechuza besoch gvul Bavel. So what's another chap over here is Chozaisa was outside of the boundaries of Bavel. So a Amemar allowed Rav Huna to marry a girl from Chozaisa, despite the fact that Chozaisa is not within the borders of Bavel. So in other words, Amar Ravashi, Maidate, so Ravashi said to Rav Amemar, well, what are you thinking? Dam Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zudiv Rabbi Meir. So Amemar, are you saying, are you passing like the Chachamim, and are you assuming? Are you assuming ultimately again that you're, or Meimar, are you saying that you're allowing Rav Huna, bless you, you're allowing Rav Huna to marry this girl from Chozaisa, even though Chozaisa is outside of Babel, because you're aligning yourself with the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon ultimately hold that what? That what? That every land, every person has a cheskas kashrus, bless you. Vaha be Rav Kahana, lo masni hachi. But in the yeshiva Rav Kahana, they did not accept the position of the Chachamim. Obey Rav Papa, Lomas Nahachi, and Yeshiva Rav Papa, they also do not accept this position. Obey Rav Zavid, Lomas Nahachi, and in Yeshiva Rav Zavid, they also do not teach like this. We'll say in all of these yeshivas, they were teaching, bless you, they were teaching like Rav Meir, right? Namely what? Babel has genealogical fitness, Erzal genealogical fitness, but all other lands, you are pasul until proven kosher. And yet on Meimar, you're allowing Rav Huna to marry this girl from Chozaisa, even though again it's outside of Babel. So you seem to be passed like the Chachamim, but no one else seems to be accepting the position of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Afilu Haki, lo kiblimi. Nevertheless, Rav Meimar was not deterred, and he did not accept this statement, ultimately again, of Rav Ashi, and he accepted the view of the Chachamim. Why? Mishum d'shmea le me Rav Zavid de Narda. Because ultimately, I will say, Ameimar heard from Rav Zavid of Narda that the halacha follows the Chachamim, namely, that all people from all lands enjoy a cheskas kashrus until proven otherwise. Tan Rabbanon, but we learned in a braisa, Mamzeri unesin, Itarm la'asid lava, but this is a very dramatic Gemara. Tiv Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that Mamzerim and Nesinim will be Tahorim when Mashiach comes. Now this statement is subject to incredible, incredible machlokas. Machlokas HaRishonim about how to understand this statement. So some say that what this statement is referring to is that Mamzerim and Nesinim, ultimately again, whose genealogy or his lineage became unknown over time, meaning they were mixed in with other families. When Eliyahu comes, Eliyahu is not going to reveal their identities, and they're going to continue to go out and be mixed in with Mishpachos Miuchasas. So that goes in line with what we learned in yesterday's daf, which was what? Mishpachos Shenitmu Nitmu. They have a concept that families with genealogical impurities became mixed in with genealogical fit families. We don't out them. They will remain mixed in even when Mashiach comes. Others say, this is very dramatic. Others say that one of the things that Eliyahu is going to do when he comes is he's actually going to be metaher all of the Mamzerim and all of the Nesinim. Can you imagine this? The Eliyahu is going to say all of those who have been genealogically impure, how Eliyahu HaNavi is going to do this, or what's going to happen, I don't know. But somehow Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be metaher all the flawed genealogical lines. Now you understand the imagery and the metaphor in this is that Eliyahu HaNavi, Mashiach, is a koach hama'achid, is a koach ultimately again that brings Klal Yisrael together. The most beautiful part ultimately of Mashiach is going to be the achdus, the unity within Klal Yisrael. So the problem is, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, you can't have achdus when you have people who are by definition on the periphery. So one of the things, and if you're a mamzer, you're by definition on the periphery. One of the things that Eliyahu is going to do is he's going to retire all familial lines. It's like, you know, genealogical amnesty. That whoever you are, whatever you are, you know, it's going to retire your family lines, and all of Klal Yisrael is brought together. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Torim. Rabbi Meir says, no, not true. Mamzerim. Even when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, all genealogical lines will still be intact, and the Mamzerim will still be considered to be Mamzerim still, as well. So the Gemara says, Omer lo Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, Tim Balok Kvar Ne'amar Vizarakti Alech. So Rabbi Yossi tries to prove his point. The pasuk says, "Vizrakti aleichem mayim tahorim utartem." The pasuk says, "I will sprinkle upon you pure waters, and I'll purify you." So Rabbi Yossi understands this to mean that what? When Mashiach comes, he's going to purify us. What's one of the ways that Mashiach is going to purify us? Says Rabbi Yossi, he's going to be metaher all the mamzeric lines as well. Amalari Meher, no. Rabbi Yossi, come on, you're corrupting that pasuk. Kishu Omer, Mikol Chatoseichem, Umikol Giluleichem. You know what that pasuk means. That pasuk means that Chesh Baruch is going to purify you for all of your sins. Chesh Baruch is going to take away our Averos, going to take away all of our iniquities. Velomin HaMamzerus. But Mamzerus is Mamzerus, Shabbos, and Mamzerus stays. Amalari Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Kishu Omer, Etar Eschem, Harbe Omer Ach Mina Mamzerus. Rabbi Yossi says, no, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will purify you even from Mamzerus. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. Bishtam Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that in the future, ultimately, even when Eliyahu comes, there'll still be Mamzerim. So Bishtam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dechsev, this is the meaning of the Pasuk. So the Pasuk in Zechariah says, Vayeshev Vayoshav Mamzer Ba'ashtod. So that's a very interesting Pasuk. The Pasuk of Mashiach comes, so the Mamzer is going to sit in Ashtod. So the way Rabbi Meir understands that Pasuk is how, that even when Mashiach comes, the Mamzerim is going to sit in Ashtod. Now I will say, now, why are Mamzerim in Ashtod? So the idea over here is that the Mamzerim will still have their own places. They'll still have their own cities. So if you look at Rashi says, Vayeshev Mamzer Ba'ashtod, Yibatlu HaMamzerim Mehem, V'yeshev B'fnei Atzmam. The Navi is describing over here that's what? That in the future, ultimately again, the Mamzerim will still be separate from the rest of Klal Yisrael. They'll sit in Ashtod. So the Gemara says, Ala Rabbi Yossi, Ma V'yeshev Mamzer. So we'll say, so this backs up Rabbi Meir's assertion that even in the Messianic era, they'll still be Mamzerim and they'll still be isolated. I bet according to Rabbi Yossi, what's the meaning of the pasuk when it says that the Mamzerim will sit in Ashtod? So listen to this. Kidimatargim Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. Yasvon Beis Yisrael v'rachtzon ba'ar ehon, tohavu damu ba l'nuchron. So according to Rabbi Yosef, what it means is, Klal Yisrael will be able to go ahead and sit securely in their lands, in the lands that in the past they were treated as foreigners. We'll say, what does that mean? That in the past, Klal Yisrael were treated like Mamzerim, even in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we'll say, when Eretz was under Gentile control, so we were like Mamzerim, who were banished to certain parts, forbidden from other parts. When Mashiach comes, Vayeshev Mamzer Ba'ashtod, the one who was formerly treated like a Mamzer, will even be able to settle in Ashdod. Rabbi will say, now Ashdod, you understand, Ashdod is a port city, right? So because of that, it's not fortified. So it says the Gemara, Klal Yisrael will enjoy safety and security in Eretz Yisrael, like the Mamzer, the one who was treated like a Mamzer, will even be able to live in the city of Ashdod. El Rabbi Yossi, that's the machlokes. So Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Huda is the name of Shmuel, that what? Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Both say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Both say, so this actually is a beautiful thought. It's another, there are so many reasons to look forward to Mashiach, and there are so many reasons to ultimately go ahead and yearn for Mashiach. But this notion that those who struggle with familial or genealogical baggage, that when Eliyahu comes, he's going to be metahir them, that's such a beautiful thing to anticipate, such a beautiful thing to look forward to. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, Ilav, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Alach Rabbi Yossi, where it's not that Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Rabbi Yosef, so now comes along. Rabbi Yosef said, it has to be that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Because if the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi, Asi Elio, Mafik Minan Savrani Savrani Kolarin. If the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi, then what? When Mashiach comes, he's going to be leading groups of people away in neck chains. Hosein, now what does that mean? Meaning otherwise, here's what we know. Here's what we pretty much do know. We pretty much know that there is a serious mamzer problem in Klal Yisrael. I will say, now why do we know that? We know that because we know that there are mamzerim within Klal Yisrael who don't even know that they're mamzerim. So I will say, this goes back to yesterday's daf. Either because of galus, things that happened to us in galus, or because that there's been a morality within the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So because you say mishpacho shnitmu nitmu, that ultimately again mamzerim who have blended in, we don't out them. So it must be that when Eliyahu comes, number one, he's not going to divulge ultimately again who the Mamzerim are, and he's going to purify the lines, because if it's not like that, there'll be massive segments of Klal Yisrael that will have to be separated from the rest of the Klal. Therefore, Rav Yosef essentially says, de facto, the halacha must be like Rabbi Yossi, otherwise, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael will be compromised. And I will say again, so it's a beautiful thought to think, like we just said before, in addition to all the other beautiful things that will happen when Mashiach comes, the notion that ultimately, again, Klal Yisrael will be unified, not just again in the sense of Achdus, but you know, there are, you know, we'll say, if we're honest with ourselves, I'll tell you what I take away from this Gemara. If we're honest with ourselves, there are so many division lines within Klal Yisrael. And so many of them are built around culture and family and identity. So we have the lines of the Gemara. I will say, you know, one of the greatest division lines, it doesn't exist as much within Golos, within diaspora, as it does in Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael, one of the most serious division lines is Sephardim and Ashkenazim. We'll say, you know, in Eretz, you see, we don't have this out here in Golos because our communities are much more blended. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are significant lines. And that's not even Mamzerim, right? That's not even Mamzerus. That's just cultural lines that are drawn. So I just had someone who came to me collecting for a new yeshiva that he's opening, and it's an inclusive yeshiva. So you know, in America, when you hear about an inclusive yeshiva, so it sounds like what? Like special needs. It's inclusive. In Eretz Yisrael, you know what inclusive means? Inclusive means that you could have a child who's Sephardi, Ashkenazi, Kippah Struga, Yerushalmi, Kola, all learn in the same classroom. Like, inclusive. Like, there's some great godless. There's some great godless that children who are Sephardim and Ashkenazim and Hasidish and Lithuish and this should be able to learn in the same classroom. I'm saying, that's the state of Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's our greatest challenge right now. Our greatest challenge is not the Arabs. Our greatest challenge is not this. Our greatest challenge is the fact that there's a Chiddush in an inclusive classroom in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. That's, it's beautiful. That's how it's creating an inclusive classroom. It's sad that this is such a novel idea. What the Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Yossi is saying, is when Mashiach comes to us, I imagine something where that's not the exception, but that's the rule. Imagine when Mashiach comes, ultimately again, all of these lines come down, and Klal Yisrael doesn't see each other by what yarmulke you wear, by what color you are, by where your background is, whether you say tough, soft, eat kidneys, don't eat kidneys, what kind of hat you wear, upbringing, downbringing. Imagine a Klal Yisrael that doesn't see anything but a neshama. Imagine a Klal Yisrael that doesn't see any external differences, but sees the most beautiful common denominator of Torah, of Tarek Mitzos, of Avodas Hashem. That, says Rabbi Yossi, is what we have to look forward to. Mirat Hashem, when Mashiach comes, halavai, we should be zocha to it, bekaruf. All right, we'll stop over here. Thank you.